I would disagree with your point, Rob, about it being repetitive. Yes, it is repetitive, but...
You disagree with my point about it being repetitive. I agree it's repetitive.
Well, no.
Don't your parents like you?
No. You guys laugh. You guys laugh.
But no, they don't. And you don't like looking more than like 180 degrees, as you said in the past.
I can respect that. I can respect that. It's a lot of effort. There's a lot of information, you know, like in every direction.
Enable it.
No, I'll do. I will do.
Hello, podcast listeners. Welcome and thanks for joining us. You're listening to the Video Game Chat Podcast, a fortnightly podcast talking about games, tech, and other nerdy goodness. I'm Geordie, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Rob.
Hello.
Gary.
Hello.
And Brendan.
Bonjour.
We hope you enjoy this podcast, and if you want to join in, ask questions, or suggest other topics, we have a new Discord where you can chat about games and news with our awesome community. You can also follow us and message us on Twitter at VGC_podcast. Our links are down below. So, guys, how have we been doing since last episode?
Can't complain. I mean, I'm sure I could, but I choose not to.
It's too bloody hot.
It's so hot. It's been like
2 weeks of, well, not even two, about a week of just constant heat and sweaty everything.
We have just been having rain. It only started getting sunny this week for us.
I wish we had rain. As of yet, Geordie and I, being in London, have had to deal with plus 30 degrees Celsius heat, which I think is about 90-something degrees Fahrenheit, with no air conditioning, because we're in the UK. We cannot have air conditioning because we don't have windows with holes in them so that we can't put the air out. If we open the window up, then there's no point in having air conditioning. Doesn't make any sense. So, unfortunately, we are stuck. In what I said to the guys earlier before we recorded, but some Reddit user used the terminology bollock soup, which is pretty disgusting, but quite true.
But yeah, it is warm here, and I am suffering sitting at my computer, recording this podcast, and whenever I play games, just constant sweat. I now have a special towel that I use just to mop my forehead.
Oh.
It's the gaming towel.
It's the gamer towel.
It's there for gaming.
It's RGB. It's got flashy lights.
Corsair branded.
And, we're selling our socks.
Liquid cool.
This is the gamer gear we need.
We need liquid cooled peripheral clothing to keep every aspect of us just wicked of moisture.
Bone dry.
Yeah. I want to feel like a prune, but not like, you know, prunes are kind of sticky and like still have a little bit of moisture.
What?
Just get rid of that. Just all of that. Just give me like maybe a bit of sand that's molded into a prune.
I want to be drier than a grain silo.
I just want a cool breeze. That's all I want. Just a cool breeze. Constantly, but than the weather, what have we all been playing this week? Have we been playing many new video games?
No, there's nothing to come out. New video games? What's a new video game?
Well, Rob, I mean, you have played a new video game. Yes. But you weren't very impressed with
that.
That
is true.
Geordie and I and Brendan have actually been enjoying it quite a bit.
Yes, we are talking about The Guys That Fall.
The Guys That Fall. That really, really
rolls off the tongue. That's going to really pass.
Hashtag Guys That Fall.
Hashtag Guys That Fall.
So we've been playing Fall Guys. It's very good.
In case that wasn't clear.
In case it wasn't clear, yes.
Mediatonic and Devolver Digital came out with a brand new sort of 60-player battle royale, which is sort of heavily sort of influenced by Takeshi's Castle and sort of Total Wipeout. Apart from you, all these little Bean-esque characters that wear different costumes.
Very cute Bean characters that wear very cute costumes. And Rob wasn't very impressed with it.
Nah, it was all right. It just wasn't for me. It was that sort of thing. You know, I don't really have anything too bad to say about it. I just didn't have a lot that good to say about it either. I still wasn't, like, completely sold on it, to be honest.
Shame. Mm. I really enjoy it just because it's dumb. It's very dumb. I don't really take, like, the game too seriously either. I'm sure there's people who really, really want to win all the time and they have to be the best at it. But
to the point where they would use speed hacks?
Yeah, there have been people who've been hacking. There have been people who've been using flying hacks as well.
Oh, God.
It's
sad concept.
Yeah, that is just taking the piss.
It's a bit sad.
The thing that sort of baffles me about it is just that, like, I've only played it a few times now with you guys. Fundamentally, the game, well, as you had said, is like Takeshi's Castle, but there's not that many levels to it, so you'll be replaying the same sort of things, and you're competing against a lot of people on it, and sort of you work your way down into a smaller group, and then you compete for a crown. And fundamentally, out of all, what is it, like 8 different levels, all of them are small. They'll last less than like 5 minutes, if even 5 minutes being generous, maybe 2-3 minutes. You finish the levels, you get purple tokens, and if you get all the way to the end, you all compete for one crown. Purple tokens are used to buy cosmetic items. Crowns are used to buy cosmetic items. That's it. That's the game. You will keep replaying those missions over and over and over and over and over again, just so that you can get new skins that you can wear while you replay those missions over and over and over again. So the fact that people are fucking hacking for this fucking glorified microtransaction engine, it's just fucking embarrassing.
It exudes small PP energy.
But no, they've done like fucking amazingly in terms of like sales. I think they've like outsold PUBG within like the first week of
really
an amazing success for them.
Yeah. Like considering how popular PUBG was like when PUBG first came out. Yeah. The new updates brought in I think a couple of new game modes and stuff like that. Ones that I've not played yet because I've seem to be getting the same maps on rotation, but yeah, they've added a few different new game modes and stuff. Oh, here's the thing that I was looking for earlier. So they've sold 2 million copies on Steam. There's been 23 million hours watched on Twitch. 60 million Fall Guys have fallen, and 1,500,000 crowns have been won.
Bloody hell.
And that was as of 2 days ago. So
I wonder how many hours people have racked up in total in this game.
Oh, I can imagine it's fucking tons. It's like
there's going to be some sweaty tryhards.
It's constantly like the second most streamed game on Twitch at the moment. So it's very popular.
Yeah,
it's the new thing.
Yeah, like Jordy and I were talking that it is going to be the new Battle Royale. It might even knock Fortnite out of the water. But Rob, you're a bit skeptical. Skeptical? That.
Yeah, I feel like it's a bit faddy, and again, as Brendan said, it is just a very much a case of a glorified play to earn skins while you play. Like, I feel like the novelty will wear off quite quickly, as it is the same shit over and over again, and as Jordy said, the whole random selection of them sort of means that, yeah, you are going to have days where you play like You know, you play the first round, you're kicked out. You play another first round, it's the same exact thing again. And I think that's the sort of thing that is going to put people off long term. It's just, I don't know whether it's going to have enough to keep bringing people back. So, personally, I don't think it's going to last as long as... I know you keep comparing it to Battle Royales, Gary. Like, an actual big open world FPS shooter Battle Royale.
It's a Battle Royale.
Yeah.
I think it's tapping into the same competitive mindset, though, where it is, you know, all these players face off against each other, then your stream gets the big payoff of you winning the crown at the end.
Yeah.
And when it comes to, like, the content of it, in fairness to them, like, all they've got to do is rewatch another series of Takeshi's Castle, rip one of the levels out of it, and just put it into a low poly map, and there they go, they've got new content for the game. Yeah.
I've even said they should probably sort of make their a version where all the people that you knocked out from the previous round are put back into the same into the next game to fight to take people out to stop them from the next round. So like do like a zombie mode where all the dead characters from the last game are trying to stop you by taking them out, and if you can take out so many people, you get revived and get put back into the game again. Like there's so many different ways that they can add different game modes and stuff to make that game.
I think there is a lot of longevity in this. Like there's so much scope in it, and I would disagree with your point, Rob, about it being repetitive. Yes, it is repetive. But
you disagree with my point about it being repetitive. I agree it's repetitive.
Well, no.
But it is repetitive.
But in the terms of it's not going to be successful or have a long life because it's repetitive.
And even then, it may not be too long before they look at things like that for, like, you know, community skin development and stuff like that. I think part of the ingenious approach they've had towards this in terms of, like, not like a complete replacement for Battle Royales, but, like, the next part of, you know, all the hype around them and what comes after Fortnite and shit like that is for their specific niche, they have made a massively accessible game. Like, this thing is not taxing on your hardware. It is not difficult to play. It is fundamentally platforming. You jump and you run, and that's it. Wendy's has a Twitch stream?
Fucking hell. Jesus.
You know the American chain?
Yeah.
Wendy's, the burger joint? They have a Twitch stream, and Fall Guys were getting a bit of that engagement by watching them play.
Mm.
That is just bizarre to me.
Mm.
Yeah, companies having Twitch accounts is something that's unless you're a games company, having a Twitch account is a bit of a weird thing. Like,
it's kind of a great grift, though. Could you imagine someone who's like they're in charge of social media and marketing and comms, and it's just like, what sort of special role can you bring? It's like, I'm going to set up a Twitch stream and I'm just going to play video games, but it'll be branded, so it still counts.
Well, the funny thing is, it kind works.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
just the fucking works. US Army wouldn't just be doing works. It to exploit children.
That's a throwback.
Fucking hell. Yeah, what was that episode?
For Fall Guys, I will probably keep it installed, but I'm not going to be regularly playing it because it is just kind of nothing.
Yeah, it's just a fun little party game. Like, if you fancy having a laugh and just sort of chatting shit, sort of catching up with people, play a bit of Fall Guys. Yeah. Nothing you're going to take too seriously, is it?
Yeah. Far less taxing than literally any other Battle Royale game.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Very much.
Moving on, I think Rob's got a little bit of news for us.
They have finally announced to everybody, fans of the old genre, the old series, a new Earthworm Jim, which has been, 20 years since the last one? I think the last one was, 1995, Brendan? You remember them. You were quite fond of them.
Yeah, I think 95 was the big one on PC that was like the fucking masterpiece.
Mm.
And then, ever since that, it's just kind of disappeared.
But yeah, Earthworm Jim 3 coming out exclusive to the Intellivision Amico? What the fuck?
What the fuck?
I should correct myself. There was definitely an N64 game.
There was a Genesis one as well.
Am I making that up? I'm going to Google it right now. We're going to fact-check my bullshit.
There was
Earthworm
one in Jim 1994.
3D. Yes! Fucking exists! 99.
Oh!
1999, Earthworm Jim 3D came out on N64. Dear Christ, it looks like dog shit. I'm glad I never played it.
There was also one on the Sega Genesis in 1994.
Yeah, but who cares about it?
It, to me, looks like, you know when you go to the shopping mall or the shopping center or whatever you want to call it, and you see those spa places where there's like people getting their feet cleaned.
Yep.
It looks like that. It looks like
I thought you were gonna say it's like if you go to, you know, like Spain, you will have like kind of shops in the flea market area, and they sell things like the E-phone and the fucking Pokemon Green and shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the bootleg versions of everything. Yeah.
I know I wasn't going for that, but I do also see what you mean with that. It does look like it looks like a toy you'd get from like
Argos.
Argos, yeah. It looks like something you'd see in the Argos catalog. RIP, but It looks...
Yeah, I just don't understand. Like, they must have been fucking desperate to sign up to this being some sort of exclusive thing for the fucking... Intellivision Amico?
Honestly.
Who's going to buy that?
What is it? Like, where did this come from?
I have no idea.
What that is? I know exactly how this is going to turn out. This thing's retailing for, they think, about $250, right? What this is going to be is a huge amount of kind of working class kids in America getting the most disappointing fucking Christmas when they ask for a games console and their long-suffering parents scrape together savings and buy them this thing.
Just for their children to hate them.
Yeah.
So I've just looked up who the console is released by, and surprise, surprise, it's Mattel Electronics.
Ah, yes.
So of course it looks like a fucking toy.
Some very fucking interesting games lined up for it.
Is there?
Bomberman's apparently making an appearance.
All right.
What?
How
is Bomberman?
There's an asterisk beside it. Not sure what the asterisk means, but it's Bomberman scheduled for 2021.
Isn't Bomberman Nintendo?
No, it's definitely not.
Nope. Huh. Oh, so it was.
But
fun
yes,
for everyone. There. Premium, family-friendly games for all skill levels.
But yeah,
I wonder if they'll have four guys on it.
Echo the Dolphin.
I don't think I'd run it. But yeah, I don't think it's a particularly wise move, that exclusivity deal for the old makers of Earthworm Jim. Like, I don't think anybody that's remotely interested in seeing a new Earthworm Jim is willing to spend however much an Intellivision Amico is.
$150?
Jesus Christ. Just for an Earthworm Jim. I think that exclusivity deal has exclusively said that we are not going to make sales.
Also, just looking at this, it looks like two fucking iPods, like the original
iPods.
Yeah.
And they're like designed for simplicity, and they've got a fucking analog wheel as the controller. Like, what?
I've actually got there is a lot of potential here, and I mean potential just in the sense of this could be the console that makes the Dreamcast look successful. This could be the one. Also, just they're retailing this at $250. If you go through all the game releases and stuff, clearly the idea is that this is marketing retro games. They're all very fucking simplistic. Like, it's very sort of, most of them are 2D platformers and stuff like that. And they're expecting $250 for this. The thing looks like it cost about $10 to make.
It does. And weirdly enough, it reminds me, did you guys ever get the M&M's LCD games console?
It's a fucking McDonald's toy.
It wasn't a McDonald's toy. It was
You're saying it looks like one.
Oh well, yeah, it looks like one for sure. But you bought it separately. I remember buying one, or at least being bought one by my parents at like a WH Smith. I think they were selling it at.
Fucking hell!
I'd say, doesn't your parents like this. You?
No, you guys laugh. You guys laugh,
but no, they don't.
Laugh, but this, oh god!
Just going through the image results from fucking searching for M&M's LCD games console. There are so many little fucking toys and shit from the 90s that are being popped up. All these little, sort of in the similar style of, you know, like Soccer Systema, Double Dragon and shit like that. These little one-off games console things,
Dinosaur
like handheld ones. And it is giving me so much fucking weird deja vu throwback shit that I feel like I'm having a stroke. I can smell the plastic.
Yeah, I when looking at this Intellivision Entertainment, I can smell the unboxing. It smells like cheap plastic and a lot of disappointment.
The children are crying.
Cheap plastic and a lot of disappointment. Gary's name of Gary's sex tape.
Got him.
I will not be buying an Intellivision to play Earthworm Jim.
And if you are inexplicably a young person listening to this podcast and you're thinking of asking your parents to pick you up an Intellivision Amico, do not show them a picture of it because they will go out and buy a house phone.
Yeah.
It almost looks like one of those emergency things that you get. about it.
Yeah, yeah, one of those like fucking life alert things. There's one button on it.
Yeah, exactly.
One to give your nan when she's in a home.
That's yeah.
Have you got any other news at all to talk about?
Ubisoft announced Sam Fisher's coming to Rainbow Six. The like fourth game in a row that he's coming to before he comes to another fucking Splinter Cell, which is all we've been asking for.
I feel like we've reached the point where Ubisoft doesn't deserve to be mentioned. I think we've reached a point where we are past the need for Ubisoft.
Just generally, as a society, or as a podcast.
Yeah, as a society. As a society and as a podcast, I think we should just let them die.
And we also saw about the guns for Cyberpunk 2077.
Ooh, yeah, I did actually watch that Nightwire. That was really good.
Yeah, I was very impressed with the quality and also the different areas in which you can explore in the game.
I was actually more interested in their little behind the scenes thing with Refused. I really like Refused, and like listening, band, yeah. And they're actually becoming, you know, they are the band behind the in-game version of Samurai from the Cyberpunk RPG. So really looking forward to their take on that, because as they said, the way they've done it, it doesn't feel like them doing another band. It feels like it's them as a different band. So, you know, it should be quite different to what they usually do. But obviously there's going to be some sort of vocal inflections and stuff that are going to be quite similar to fans of the actual band. So, looking forward to that.
I think that's all we got time for the news. We will move swiftly on to our main part of this podcast, where we have got a guest. On today's podcast, we are talking to Mr. Moat Low, who is from the All the Low End Twitch channel and from bands such as Novena and Sludge. Am I correct there, Mo?
You are correct. Hello.
Yes. How's it going, mate? How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm too hot. I'm so hot.
It is very warm in the UK at the moment.
Honestly, it's at the point now where my fan's been on for so long, I think it's starting to mock me and I don't know how I feel about it.
I've taken the guard off of my fan now because it was just getting like it was getting warm and just like the all the dust and stuff was just clogging it up and I was like should probably just take that off and let it run free.
It's a bad time, man. Honestly, I think I can just hear it whispering, just like I'm not helping you, and you know, it's just sucks, man. It sucks. But to be fair, right, the storm that we had the other night, well, we had one last night and it kind of touched on it the night, it like kind of flirted with the idea of it the night before, and then last night it was like, I'm back, and it was really good. It was a really good watch, but it was also weird because like you could see it for just miles and miles away and you could hear the thunder for like miles and miles, and then you get about 30 seconds of rain absolutely lashing it down and then it would just stop again. So it's been really weird. It's kind of like teased the idea of actually like taking away this humidity and then hasn't done it, but at least it's been a nice watch.
I'm just looking forward to like hopefully a full on week of just like monsoon weather.
For me in Glasgow, it's been just overcast all week, so it's only been like 17 to 19 degrees. But today it's horrible. So it's been a complete. I know, Gary. I know, but to go like in pretty much straight up like 8 degrees overnight from what it feels like to usually be in sort of autumn spring in London usually.
Yeah, it's just not this. Nice is, time, is, really. I mean, to be fair, I'm one of those people that considers anything in double digits as hot. So, you know, I'm probably not the best voice of reason for shouting about the heat, but even so, it's far too much. I don't care for it.
When I came up and visited you the other weekend, I think that was like probably one of the hottest weekends that's been in Manchester for a while.
That was hot as well. Yeah. It was a bad time. There was heat. There was you. It was awful.
Exactly. Yeah. Awful. Could do it all three.
Got him.
But you know.
Mo, you are a musician at heart to start off with, and you've been streaming now for about nearly a year, or is it just over a year?
No, it's like erring on the side of two.
Oh, wow. 2 years now, nearly.
Yeah.
So you've been coming up quickly then.
You've been an affiliate streamer for just over a year.
No, I think that's also kind of pushing on two. The time, dude, the time is so flown though. I've had no track. Like, I the only way that I know how long I've been streaming is by the resub messages, because I forget what date I actually started. So
yeah, because I've been subbed to you for pretty much since you've got affiliate.
Yeah. You have, although
but Twitch has fucked me around and not told me that I've subbed for certain months, and now I'm apparently only on a 7-month streak when my Twitch Prime has gone to you every time you've streamed.
Yeah, it's
apparently
been really
I've
funny.
Been subbed to you for 20 months, and I was like, that's definitely not true. It's that's at least an not. Extra 4 or 5 on top of that.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's really funny whenever I've seen that happen. Just like, I think the amount of times I've said, Geordie, thank you for the 17 months is more than anyone should say that sentence.
17 months for 3 months in a row. Yeah. And it was 19 months for 2 in a row.
Yeah.
And it finally hit 20 for 2 in a row.
And we rejoiced, yeah. We cried, we embraced from a social responsible distance. And yeah. Yeah. It's been funny, man. It really has. It's been a journey though. I've loved it.
Yeah, but what got you into streaming? What was it that sort of made you go, I want to stream, I want to sort of have a platform and a community?
So, funnily enough, the reason I actually started streaming in any capacity whatsoever is because of me and my girlfriend are quite far apart. We don't get to see each other all that much, but then I'd be, you know, sitting playing games, she'd be like, what are you playing? And I'd try and describe it, and she'd be like, I have no idea. And that would happen with every game. So I'd be like, all right, I'll tell you what, I'll put on a stream, you can come and watch me, and then we can chat on like a video call, and you can like watch the game and we can just sit and talk about it and stuff. And we did a few games like that, and it was really cool. And eventually we just kind of got frustrated with how crap it was on Xbox doing it through Mixer back at the time. You know, a couple of years back, like it was just
rest in pieces.
It was just really dodgy. You know, like a couple of years ago, it was one of the new things that was kind of rolling out, and trying to do that on an Xbox, which is already probably struggling to play anything remotely decent. Like once you've had it for a few years and the dust has built up and all that, you know, it's struggling, and it's trying to stream it at the same time. And I've not got like wired internet, so I'm running off of just like a Wi-Fi adapter, and my house is. The Wi-Fi is not getting up to my room with any ease. You know, it's one of those whole situations. So eventually I was like, you know, I'll just do it on Twitch. And it'd just be easy. So I never actually set out really to do anything with it. It was just so me and my girlfriend could just sit and kind of play games and chat. And then eventually, you know, I've always been interested in, like, you know, like Kaizo, Super Mario World ROM hacks and stuff. And I used to watch a lot of that. And then eventually I realized that I could actually play them and stream them. So I thought, why not do it? And again, mainly because I'd talk about them to my girlfriend and she'd have no idea what I was on about at any point. So yeah.
Yes. So your Kaizo and your ROM hacks and stuff like that. So yeah. I've tried to explain to the boys how it sort of is and what it is as like a concept.
Yeah.
But it's a full community on Twitch, isn't it? It's like a Mario World hack.
It's a ridiculously strong, tight-knit community, and it's always growing. It's grown massively over the last couple of years. It was around before Mario Maker, but Mario Maker ended up putting a kind of a big spotlight on it, as it were, because of streamers crossing over between you know, playing SMW and playing Mario Maker.
Yeah, so the way I described it was sort of like Mario Maker before Mario Maker existed,
mm-hmm.
where it was just people making ultra hard, difficult levels for basically people to just download as like a ROM and then play it through like an emulator.
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much it. Yeah, you know, it started out initially of just people making just kind of their attempts at Super Mario World sequels and just like, you know, just making hacks just for whatever. Some of them, you know, they made like really hard, and then eventually Kaizo became a thing because of Kaizo Mario World. That hack was kind of like the first step into it all. And it's just gone from there. And it's kind of incredible how much it's grown over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, so and you're sort of one of the bigger guys in the UK who who do this sort of content. Mm-hmm. I'm all right in saying that.
Yes. Yeah, because there's not many of us. That's the thing. There's really not.
It's true.
Honestly, I think if I try and think about all the people of the UK Kaizo community, I would probably do it a disservice, but I could think maybe of about 10 names. And that's about it.
That is quite small.
I just don't know like many UK Kaizo players whatsoever. There's been a few more popping up over the last year or so, which is awesome. And, you know, obviously there's always a thing where you're not always guaranteed to cross paths with everyone, you know? So you can't necessarily say there's this many people in the community or like this many people represented, but it's definitely a small number compared to, you know, like say the States or like mainland Europe and stuff.
You do have sort of a quite a varied audience. You have quite a lot of American followers. And
Yeah. There's people from all over the shop. People are like, you know, people from Chile, people in Australia, you know, just kind of everywhere, Sweden, the US, Canada, you know, like just there's a really big mix. There's a really, really big mix. It's really refreshing.
Nice.
It's really fascinating watching you as well. Like I don't tend to, like, my personal watching habits of like Twitch streamers or YouTube content creators. I don't really go for the like the trying to complete a challenge over and over again type of thing, mm-hmm. just because it doesn't usually interest me. But watching you, I don't know what it is. You're just really like, it's so fascinating to watch you attempt playing these levels. I can't explain why, but I really enjoy when I get a chance to jump onto your stream. I really do enjoy watching them.
No, thank you, man. I think a big part of it is Kaizo is generally kind of fascinating to watch anyway, because it's everything that almost feels like platforming kind of should be and yet never normally is, you know, and taking like the knowledge of a game and kind of pushing it to the extreme with all the things that you can do. Because, you know, there's a lot of weird knowledge that you end up learning about Mario because of Kaizo stuff, because that's just how things work. And I think when you just see it happen for the first time and you have none of that, you just sit and watch it, you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, like, what is going on? And it's kind of fascinating in that sense. That's what pulled me into it initially. You know, I've always loved playing Mario since I was very, very young. And seeing Kaizo and like SMW stuff, how it was the first time, I remember sitting there for ages just with my jaw kind of dropped, just like, why did I not know this existed sooner? You know, like, and what is happening? I think it's just a generally kind of fascinating thing to just like see. And then I think you go from within yourself then, whether it piques your interest enough that you want to dip your toe in or understand more, or if you just want to look at it and be like, right, that's cool, and that's me for now, you know, it's whatever at that point. But I think, yeah, it is kind of a hell of a watch.
It's really, really, really satisfying as well when you've been struggling past a part that is just like, it's so difficult because it's all intricate timings. You've got to literally press a button at exactly the right time. Mm-hmm. But when you do it, like, I mean, chat is just erupting, being like, oh my God. Yeah. And then like the look of like sheer determination on your face as well. It's just great to see that. And even just as a viewer, just seeing like the impossible in a way almost being beaten, mm-hmm. it's really satisfying.
It's super fun. That's such a big part of what I love about it though. You know, that you get to that level of execution where there's certain things that are required, and you know, like it might be like a one frame trick or something that you have to do, and you get it, and it's just like, oh, that is just, that could have gone wrong so many times, you know, over and over again for hours. And I've been there when that's happened, you know. It's a massive relief every time.
So what is the longest streak you've had then, trying to nail exactly one part?
Probably.
And fucking it up.
Probably. I mean, so this needs a bit of context, I guess, I feel. Because it was one of the earlier hacks that I played, and it was a massive step up in difficulty for me, and it was called Invictus. And it was made by Juz Cook, and it's an absolutely incredible hack for so many reasons. But there was a level on that called Absolute Power, and it's something that we affectionately call motor skills. Is the coin term for it. And what it is that you can switch Mario's jump type in midair. So you haven't got a land to like switch. So you can go from spin jump to regular jump at just the press of a button at any point. And as you can imagine, doing that with some heavy item abuse stuff and lots of very tight controlled jumps and very quick changes between things, the second half of that level probably took me about anywhere between 20 to 25 hours.
Oh God.
Yeah. Jeez. That wasn't straight, right? That was split up.
That was split up over a couple of weeks. That wasn't straight. I think if I was to think about something that I've sat and ground out in one session on a stream, has probably been something that's maybe 4 to 5 hours, something
Good
like
Lord.
That.
Oh God.
But, yeah, that second half of Absolute Power will live with me forever. But I hadn't been playing Kaizo overall like really that long. I hope not because otherwise I've got no excuse. but that was really difficult, but it's one of the most satisfying levels to like sit and do and watch it back. That was a really big victory for me.
Nice. So talking about like obviously when you first sort of picked up Super Mario World and stuff like that, mm-hmm. So what was your first console or your first sort of venture into gaming and what was your favorite childhood games?
So it was the NES. I was about 2 years old when I started playing Super Mario Brothers.
Nice.
I distinctly remember playing a lot of SMB 3 on that as well. I had a Game Genie, which I think I may still have somewhere. And I used to have that, and I used to sit and just like put loads of cheat codes in on Super Mario and just mess around because I was like 4 and just didn't really know. Played a lot of Duck Hunt as well. And that was kind of like...
Did you have the light gun?
Yes. We still have it. I'm sure we do somewhere. I honestly don't know. I've got like my original Super Mario Bros. Cart, and I think I might have SMB3 as well somewhere, but like... The NES has gone missing a long time ago and I've no idea when or why, and it upsets me to this day knowing that it's just in the ether now and I have no idea where it is. So that sucks, but I've still got like a couple little things from it. There was a couple of older games that I used to play on that as well that I can't really remember what they were. There was a weird like football one that I used to play which I cannot remember for the life of me what it was, but I just distinctly remember swearing at my TV as a very young child and my mum walking past my door and just looking at me like, okay, you're going to turn that off now. It's like, damn it.
Well, you're clearly not enjoying
it.
But I had a lot of that, yeah. Fucking hell.
Yeah, it sucks. But that was kind of like the really early thing. And then we got a PlayStation 1 not long after they came out, and Crash Bandicoot took over my life for a long time.
You've been long-serving gamer then?
Yes, I have. There's not really ever been any point where I've not been, to be honest. I can never remember what it is. Was it a Sega Master System that was like the portable one? I can't remember, but we had that for a brief period, I remember, and I used to play Sonic on that and then turn it off after about 30 minutes because I was like, I don't like Sonic, but I'd still keep playing it because I wanted to play a game.
You're breaking my heart.
Yeah, I know. I've never been a big Sonic fan. I never have. Jordan's been banned from my stream
for batting for Sonic.
I think I was on that stream when you said something
probably.
About it. Did you
probably,
tell me about it?
Probably.
I just... Either way, Jordy probably told me about it after it happened anyway. But yeah, I remember hearing about that.
I've always wanted to like Sonic. I understand why people like Sonic. And, you know, like it's such a pivotal thing for young people to remember Sonic with such fond memories. But it just never, ever did it for me. It just never did.
Yeah.
But the music in Sonic is absolutely fire. Like, it's ridiculously good.
I think that was the only reason I really, really enjoyed Sonic, to be honest. That and the fact that I actually played Sonic completely differently to how you should actually play.
Right.
Because I played it like, I played it more like Mario instead of actually Sonic.
Well, that's the thing. That's what Sonic's meant to be. It's a case where like, right, your character goes really, 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 really fast and you need to stop and slow down and explore to get the full experience. It's like, what are you doing? Pick one.
Yeah.
You know, and like that always got on my nerves with Sonic. And I don't know, it never felt good to play to me because of that.
That's the one.
Do you ever wonder whether Sonic and the game style around speed sort of led to a lot of people becoming like speedrunners?
I think 100%. So. I definitely do think so. I mean, the thing is, speedrunning's been around for so long. I can't even remember. You know, yeah. Like there was that dude went there who had all his awards stripped and then reinstated again and banging on about how he was like the best game.
Oh, Donkey Kong.
Yeah,
boy.
That one. You know, and he's been, you know, like speedrunning as it was since day dot. But I think it definitely was that was definitely a factor, I think, in showing people that you can play games quickly and you can, you know, learn how to do like inputs and all that when you need to, as you need them at high speed and stuff. And I think that definitely helped push people for consistency and things. I think speedrunning just comes from a general fascination, like just a general human fascination. I'd just be like, how fast can I do this? You know, like, I've always had that myself, you know, when I've been playing games when I was younger, being like, how fast can I do this? You know, like playing Burnout Revenge or whatever.
Oh, God,
you know,
yeah.
But like back in the day, and there was always like the certain tasks that you had to do where you had to get like drive almost like across the entirety of this massive map in like an F1 car, and you had to boost the entire way. And if you didn't, you'd miss out by like frames on actually beating the challenge. And I think, you know, doing things like that, and that just helps push you to kind of think like, oh, okay, there's methods to this. There's things you can do to speed games up and make them done quicker.
So
yeah.
In that regard, what's your opinion then on like, there's obviously the two types of speedrunning. There's always the straight up legit play speedrunning, just mm-hmm. how quickly can you do it? And yep. then there's the straight up abuse every sort of exploit and glitch.
Oh,
and
I'm glad you mentioned that, Rob.
Quite frankly, I don't think that should count.
Well, like, I mean,
it's not pure. It's not right.
I mean, right. So if you think about it in the terms of what is speedrunning, you know, it's getting from the start to the end of the game as quick as possible. And if there are things mm-hmm. in the game which can be exploited to do it, then that's fair enough. I think what matters is the distinction of categories, you know, and that's, and I think, you know, if people enjoy breaking the game to the point of getting through it as quickly as possible, that's awesome. And I love seeing a game push to the boundaries of what can be done with it. And people just yeah. abusing the idea of just a game being this thing and being like, it's really not. It's actually just this thing that I just rip apart and then just get to the end, you know.
Yeah, because I remember watching a Super Mario 64 speed run that involved getting into like a corner of one room, like doing a weird glitched out jump backflip thing that mm-hmm. then launched you into the room like behind the final locked door, so you didn't need to get 100 whatever keys in the game mm-hmm. to get to it. You were just there because it glitches you out and lands you in that exact spot. And I was just like, that shouldn't count. Like that's not my idea of speedrunning. Like,
I did love there was a stream that was run with a guy who was doing a speedrun through Half-Life 2, and they had a bunch of the Valve developers that worked on Half-Life 2 sit and watch mm-hmm. it. And they're sitting there, you know, it's the boot sequence near the start, and they're talking with this great love about, you know, oh, remember the amount of time we spent trying to fix this part of it and all this sort of stuff? And they're like, yeah, and like it took us about 6 months to get it done. And the guy just jumps into a corner, hops up 3 times and teleports across the map. And they're just like, ah, great. Yeah.
You'd die a little inside as a dev if you saw that, especially if you were in QA and you were like,
yeah.
I don't
know. I feel like because I have a really fond appreciation for exploiting a game to its full potential, because I try and push games as far as possible because I like to explore what you can do within the remit of it, that reality. Mm-hmm. And sometimes things can really surprise you. Like, yeah, you can do some crazy things. Like for example, your SMW hacks. They rely upon that in some regard.
Yeah,
if
sure.
I'm correct. And so that, even though it's not necessarily it's supposed to be part of the game, it still feels like it is, because you are jumping on multiple different items. You're using the shells to like kind of jump yourself up onto multiple different platforms that shouldn't technically do what they do, but you found a way to make them do that. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot more creativity behind that. I like it.
Yeah, it is really, really, really interesting. What I love about, you know, seeing that and seeing what people do with it is just people's eye for design. And especially when levels in hacks, you know, because the only thing that anyone ever puts into this is time. You know, no money's ever changed hands for like people helping out. It's a massive whole community thing. You know, the games are all free. Everyone just opts to put their time in and try and make the best game that they can. And I think it's so interesting to see the level of commitment to atmosphere, to design, to, you know, looking at palettes and making sure that palettes all match up, you know, to aesthetics of levels, to making, you know, themes. I mean, there's hacks with like escape rooms in them and stuff, you know. Nice. Like that level of just of thinking about something and pushing it to that limit within just this engine, you know, it's phenomenal. That I think that's also like a big part of what always attracted me to it. It's just, you know, no two hacks really are the same. And it's unique and it's brilliant. I love it. I really do.
Talking about hacks that have been made. Mm-hmm. So they've recently made a hack that I've heard called Peachy Moat World.
They have. They
Can
have
talk
made
a little
it.
Bit about that?
Okay, so Peachy Moat World exists because I'm very, very lucky, as is Peach, and our good friends Sparky Sy and Dan 2.5 decided to make a hack together. Dan 2.5, this was his third release. It was Sparky's first one, but they collabed together on Dan's second hack, which was Lani, Super Lani World 2. And Spark was the playtester for that, and then they came together and wanted to make a hack together. And they dedicated it to me and Peach, and it's incredibly wholesome. And I'm very, very lucky that that's happened, because, you know, a lot of hacks do get dedicated to other streamers and stuff in the community. But this had a very, very like big personal touch to it. There was a lot of secrets and little Easter eggs and stuff to do with me and Peach, and all of our friends were putting it in portraits and stuff, you know, like secret rooms in the game that you go and find, and there's a portrait of just me in a lion outfit. Nice. And all these kind of things, you know, and I cried at the end for a good 20 minutes. Because the title credit song is a Nirvana song that they managed to get someone to port into SMW.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Which was just,
oh my God,
unbelievable.
That's a nice, yeah, touch.
That's a really fantastic touch.
Yeah. I just bawled my eyes out as soon as I heard it for that 20 minutes. Honestly, I just could not contain myself. They told me for months they couldn't do it. I never even said anything to them about them doing it. They just went, yeah, we had this idea. And I was like, right. I was like, we wanted to put a Nirvana song in the game. I was like, I'd lose my shit if you did that. They were like, yeah, that's why we wanted to do it. But no one's available to do it. And I was like, ah, well, it's not a big deal. That would have been really cool though. And then for months, I was just disarmed, you know, and then finally beating the game, and then just hearing that happen was just, yeah, unreal. It's wholesome.
Brilliant.
Shit.
I've not yet shit. Got around to watching it, because I'm currently watching you play it through on your YouTube channel.
Yeah, I've been meaning to get another video done, but it's been far too hot and I've been way too irritable to sit through hours of footage of me being an idiot and cutting it up to make me look like an idiot in a good way. So yeah, I've just been too hot and just too not focused to do it, but I will actually get around to putting another episode out of, hopefully over the next couple of days.
Yeah, hopefully. Also something else we wanted to speak about, which was your recent charity work you did for hitting your subscriber goal of 100 subscribers.
Yeah,
a couple of months ago.
That 24-hour stream for the Bow Project. That was super fun. That was super duper fun.
So you came to me and you was like, "Hey Geordie, I just wanted a bit of a help. Like, I'm gonna do a charity stream and stuff like that." And you was like, how much money should I sort of set up to start off with?
Yeah.
And I can't remember what figure you came up with basically to start off with.
I think about basically 250 quid, isn't
it? Yeah, 250 quid or something like that. And I was like, you're having a laugh, aren't you? And I was like, you and your community, I was like, put that up to like 1,500 at least. $2,000
I was like, nay.
And then you was nay. Like, no, yes, you look, I'm never going to do that. And I was like, wait, you people will do it. They'll do it. And how much did you end up raising?
After subs and bits and other donations as well, I think it was $1,885.
Fucking nice. Hell. Step aside Captain Tom and bring in Captain Moat.
Yeah.
I'm really stoked. Honestly, I did not expect the whole thing to go as smoothly and as awesomely as it did, but it was a really great event. It was such a good day. There was only one point where I nearly fell asleep as well, so I'm really proud of myself. but to be fair, that's because I was an idiot and decided that 16 hours into the stream would be a good time to play Journey for the first time. So,
oh god,
yeah, that was a smooth brain move. But aside from that, it was really good. It was really, really good.
You had a good choice in the selection of games that were like firsts for you as well in that stream.
Yeah, for sure. Just stuff that it was stuff that I knew like people would want to come in and see. You know, playing Grand Prix World 2, like that's like the coveted big fucking SMW hack. You know, when that first came out, I think for a solid week, Super Mario World was in like the top 7 most watched on Twitch. Whereas normally it's got like between 1,000 and 3,000 viewers. That was pushing like a serious fucking number when that hack came out. Because it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And I highly recommend anyone watch, even just a speed run of it. It's a phenomenal watch. So playing that first of all was a lot of fun because I've been saying I wanted to do it for ages. And then doing the Pokemon RNG challenge afterwards is always fun because people like to laugh at me for the RNG because it never goes well ever.
Yeah.
And, I don't think it did that stream either. I think it went very, very badly. Yeah, it weren't great. It wasn't great. It was so the RNG challenge, if you don't know what it is,
yeah,
is that on PokeMMO, which is exactly what it is, it's Pokemon but MMO, there are 644 Pokemon that you can get. So I roll a number between 1 and 644 and whatever Pokemon I catch is the only Pokemon I can use to beat the next gym.
Oh my God.
And I've already done Gen 1. I've cleared that. That was really fun. And now we're doing Gen 3. And Roxanne's gym with her big rock Pokemon. And I rolled a Growlithe. So.
Oh, no.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that wasn't super fun. But we got through it. But yeah, there's a whole lot of other rules of it. You know, I've got myself a budget that I can't spend over a certain amount of. Which is only like 300k, which sounds like a lot, but it's not because there's a whole like in-game economy where you can buy Pokemon, which is the best way for me to do the challenge because I can't necessarily always catch them. So I just have to buy them. So it can get pretty expensive sometimes trying to buy the Pokemon. So it's a whole like resource management thing as well. It's really fun, but it's definitely stupid. It's definitely stupid. And yeah, I think after that, it just kind of set the stream up really well for it to just be a good night. We had a lot of laughs and raised a really good amount of money at the start of it too. So I think everyone was just in a really great mood. And that played well with like Celeste and Subnautica and stuff that we ended up playing. Oh, and the Messenger as well, which was really good. So that got me through the night pretty well.
I was actually going to ask if you played Celeste, because I feel like that is very, very similar to... the hacks in a way where you have to be quite precise with your controls.
Yeah. I have played some. I need to play more. I really want to play more. I loved what I played. And also I feel like it's a good time to also say that it's funny that you say that there's like a similarity between that and the hacks, because someone is currently making a Celeste SMW hack. And it's unbelievable so far what I've seen. There's so much cool stuff to it, but yeah, it's phenomenal. There's some levels out there like already kind of showcased, but that's going to be a big game changer for SMW hacks. I think when that comes out, I think there's going to be a lot of buzz about it because it's just so well done. It's so well done.
So much you can do for it as well. Generally, like if you can kind of think it up, you can almost do it in the hack.
That is literally it. That's the thing. That is literally it. We've said that for ages. Like if anything can be done on a SNES, like at any point, then it can be done in Super Mario World. And even then, the things that haven't that can't be done, you know, you or you wouldn't think would be able to done, can be done in SMW. People can just ASM loads of kind of stuff. For instance, there is a patch that exists which you can put into your hacks, which gives Mario a portal gun, a fully working portal gun. So, so yeah, there's almost like no limit to what people can do with it, which makes it just incredibly exciting as well.
Awesome. So, one thing we just wanted to sort of put into this and sort of ask was sort of looking forward into the future of gaming. We sort of do quite a lot of sort of news segments and stuff like this on the podcast, and sort of just wanted to know what sort of games you're looking forward to coming out quite soon. Is there anything you're looking to sort of stream that's coming out soon and stuff like that?
I think the thing that's got me the most excited, for at least that I can think of, is the Demon Souls remake. Because that's really pushing me to want to play Demon Souls actually on a PS3 first. And then play it again on PS5 and then be like, this is so much better. Wow. You know, I wanna have that moment instead of just playing it on PS5 and it being, you know, incredible and then never really experiencing it properly. But that's kind of like the main thing on my mind. I really don't know like what else. It's so funny, isn't it? Because so many things get announced, especially in like these weird big heaps, and especially over the last couple months with the world being the way that it is because of Corona and stuff. It seems like games have done a lot more to kind of be like, well, here's this and here's this and here's this, and yeah, there's just been a lot. So it's hard for me to even remember like a lot of the things that are coming up. Cyberpunk looks like it's going to be cool.
We've all agreed that Cyberpunk is definitely one that
we're very hyped for that.
Yeah. I think that's going to be really, really cool. I never got a chance to properly play The Witcher 3.
Have you not?
No, I really want to.
I fully recommend it.
I really, really want
especially
to.
Especially during lockdown when you've got more time at home than usual sort of thing. If you can squeeze in a few hours a game and go for it, you'll start getting hooked.
I know.
You played one of The Witchers on stream, didn't you, mate?
I did. I played through a good chunk of the first one. And then I can't remember what happened, but I definitely got distracted by something, and then that was that. I didn't mind the first Witcher. I was actually really enjoying it. It's kind of just like a fancy point and click.
It's a very quality difference. It is quite horribly.
It has not done that well in terms of, you know, time, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad experience.
No.
I never got around to playing the second one either, even though I did want to. I don't know. I never got a chance to properly explore The Witcher 3. Hopefully I can at some point, because it would be really, really good. I know I'll like it. That's the thing as well. I know it's automatically that I'm going to enjoy it. So hopefully CD Projekt Red are going to knock it out of the park again, and Cyberpunk will be as good as everyone wants it to be. I'm sure it will. I'm very, very sure it will. I don't know what else. I really don't know what else. I guess part of it is just, you know, you get so absorbed in a community with all like hacks coming out all the time and looking forward to like new hacks coming out, which even then there's not many that I can think of. There's Hark Bros 2, there's Super Rift World 2, and they're like a couple of the main ones that I'm looking forward to the most. And that's kind of really, really it. I think I've just been very focused on trying to do the little things that I've got to do at the moment, you know?
Like, you've also been streaming quite a lot of your Dark Souls as well recently.
Oh yeah, I've been playing the Cinders mod of Dark Souls 3.
Oh.
Which I highly recommend. I highly recommend. If anyone ever wants to play Dark Souls 3 but have it feel kind of fresh, then yeah, Cinders is a fantastic mod. Just don't play it online on Steam, you'll get shadow banned. So don't do that.
Definitely don't want that.
No, you don't want that. No, you don't. My mate scared. I remember my mate actually scared the shit out of me whilst I was midstream, because he messaged me and was like, "You're online on Steam." And I'm like, "Right." He's like, "And you're playing Dark Souls." I'm like, "Right." And he's like, "You're going to get shadow banned." I'm like, "No, but I'm not online on Dark Souls." He's like, "Oh, yeah, sorry." He's like, "Don't fucking do that. Don't do that." Like, oh my God. You know, you just sit there and think, like, have I made such a slight, massive mistake? And thankfully, I hadn't. But yeah, he scared the shit out of me.
But you felt that blood pressure rise.
Oh, massively. Massively.
I actually saw a couple of streamers accidentally dox themselves because they went onto Amazon. And if you click on like any product that you want to go on, it shows your location and your postcode.
Oh, no.
So, advice to any streamers and all of us, don't go on Amazon when you're
streaming.
Or if you do go on Amazon while you're streaming, go on incognito. There we go.
Yeah.
Tip for the day.
Today I learned.
Gary, most of the advice you've ever given me just involves incognito mode. I need to raise questions.
The stream fuck up that will always live with me was when GTA 5 was released.
Oh, yeah.
And there was some boy, I don't even know what his name was now, but he was streaming and he had loads of people watching the stream because he was up probably as one of the first ones installing it on PC. And PlayStation 3. And yeah, he opened up the little like window which showed his key and he like typed it in, you know, perfectly fine. Everything was good. Everyone in the chat was nice and friendly, typed it in, hit install. Key already used. Oh, someone fucking nabbed it. They were waiting.
My God.
Some guy with a typing speed of 400 words a minute.
One of those few people that speedruns typing is dead. Like an actual legend. Yeah. Oh, rude.
That also takes into account the stream delay, which must be at least like 20 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you can get a pretty slow speed delay depending, but like they've made it better. But sometimes, I mean, if you're on mobile, then yeah, it's going to be about 6 weeks until you see it. But yeah, it's actually generally a lot better. I mean, I don't actually know how much latency I have on mine, but that's definitely why I would never get a key up on my screen and like slowly sit there and type it in, checking. Or what would be worse as well? Could you imagine if he like was one of those people who like said their password out loud as he typed it? And he's sitting there sitting on the stream saying the key because he's entering it digit by digit.
That kind of thing where they think it's under their breath.
Someone just fucking zooms in on their iPad onto their
great, gotta fucking log in again. Yep, welcome, 1, 2, 3. Yep, there we go.
Yeah. not gonna lie, I was one of those people back in the
day. That doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
used to say their password as they typed it out. Yeah. I learned to stop doing that.
I imagine you probably got stung quite a few times before you learned as well.
Probably.
Knowing me.
Let's hope it wasn't anything serious that got you in.
No, probably not. I think I've had my RuneScape account banned probably because of it. But yeah, nothing.
Didn't lose much.
Nothing life or death. But yeah, has anyone else got any other questions to ask our lovely guest monk while he's with us still?
Can you deck a horse in one punch?
Yeah.
That's a question we've all been asked.
Yeah, of course you can.
I like it. Confidence.
Of course you can. If you spend a good 30 seconds, right, getting a good run up, slightly downhill, and you go for it, and the moment you get within that horse, you fly it and you fling that forearm forward. Oh yeah, you could take out a couple of horses with that, I reckon, actually. Two or three tops.
Straight through the face, yeah, right
fully,
out the back end.
Fully
into the other face.
Fully. Bang. Done. That's it. Horses. What are you saying?
I think that's the only time I've ever had a confident yes to that question.
That's because people...
And not just a confident yes out of nowhere, but I've put thought behind this, you know?
I've got a method. An established method.
Fully. You don't grow up in Raynham without decking a few horses. No, that's not true. To be fair.
Over the chase, yeah?
Yeah, over the chase, mate. Get on the big hill, run, fly, deck, done. Done. That's when you know you're growing up. As soon as you can do that, you get an Oyster card.
That'll teach that fucker for eating your grass.
No, you grew up in Essex, right?
Yeah, I did.
That was the only part of like speaking to you this entire time. That was the only part where I heard any Essex come through.
do you know what's funny is the amount of times this year on stream I've been asked, "Are you Australian?" That's been my favourite one. It's been seven, at least seven. It's oh, incredible. Wow. Yeah, people are like, where in Australia are you from? I'm like, fucking nowhere. I don't live there. What? Where did you get that from?
Just fucking make up an answer.
But everyone says the same thing. They're like, oh, you have a twang. Like, what? What are you on about? What twang do Australians have? Like, nah, weird. So weird.
Just your moti twang, mate. That's what it is.
Apparently it is, yeah. Apparently. That's just what I have now. That's something. That's going to go on a bio somewhere at some point. Has a twang. Never going to explain it either.
Just slap it in your CV and everything. Why Australian not? Twang, apparently.
Apparently. I know what a Tim Tam Slam is. That's enough, right? Is that enough? I don't know.
It says here that the moat has a twang. He's hired.
If that's all you had to do to get a job, that'd be great. But no.
I'd be sorted if I could fucking have
a
twang.
No, you wouldn't. But you don't have a twang. That's the problem, Jordan.
I don't have a twang, no.
Not even a little bit. Not even close.
Fucking Romford,
that's
mate.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's not twang, is it? That's just shame.
And sadness.
Yeah, that's all that is.
Oh. An actual question related to gaming and what this podcast is about. Yeah, what games have you been playing recently off stream? And that you haven't been sort of projecting to the world.
Shameful little secrets.
A lot of They Are Billions.
Yes.
A lot of They Are Billions. I don't know why. Almost.
Are they billions?
They are at the end. Good lord, they are billions indeed. It's a really fun game. If you've never seen it or you don't know what it is, the way that I would describe it is like a steampunk zombie-esque RTS tower defense. You know, you have your one main tower that you need to defend in the middle, but it is set out as an RTS with a map. It's all resource management and expansion and, you know, trying to make your base better. But the thing is, the whole time is just there are zombies just around that can just stroll in and just ruin one of your houses. And if that happens, then your whole game's over because the game doesn't like you and wants to end it very quickly. It's ridiculous how fast it goes wrong. You could be, you know, 3 hours in having the game of your life thinking I've got every wall covered. I've got all these soldier units. They're all veteran. I am safe. And then you just hear screaming on the left side of your headphones and see a notification being like, the outburst has taken over the colony. And you're like, fuck, it's done. It's done. Nothing saving this. And it really is just that quick. It's brutal. And I'm not even playing on normal mode yet. So.
Jesus, is that just on easy?
Yeah, that's just on easy. It is. It's disgusting, but it's so good. It's such a great game. I really recommend it if anyone is like an RTS fan, because I think it's just a very cool take on it, even if it is very punishing. But I've never really been much of an RTS player, but this has grabbed me quite substantially.
I saw a couple of streamers playing it, and I like the look of it, but I also understand that I probably wouldn't enjoy it. I probably get to a point where I'm really enjoying it, like where it's going well,
and one direction, eh, Gary.
Fuck you.
it's gonna ask a lot of you.
Yeah, apparently I can't look east or west or north or south.
You don't know directions, Gary. That's what it is.
And
you just don't know directions.
And you don't like looking more than like 180 degrees, as you said in the past. I have shot myself up and down as well as left and right.
I can respect that. It's a lot of effort. It's a lot of effort. There's a lot of information, you know, like in every direction.
Don't enable him.
No, I'll do. I will do. To be fair, I have the problem of I think every way that I'm facing is north, right? Not to the point where I like immediately if I turn left, I'm like, oh, suddenly that's north. And then I turn left again, like suddenly that's north. But if you ask me at any random point in a day, I will be like, well, the way I'm facing. And they'll be like, why? Like, because that's the way I'm looking. That's north. It's like, no, that's not.
Got a 1 in 4 chance of being correct.
Well, there's that as well. Do you know what I mean? There's that as well. If I point both arms out, I'm halfway. I'm 50-50. Like, I don't mind. I'll fudge the numbers, but I know. if anyone asks me the way I'm looking, that's probably north. You know, it's definitely not, but it probably is. So that's.
I love the confidence there as well. Like, you could just certainly say, right, we're facing north.
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Since when? Since when were directions important? Like,
I misheard that.
I think you heard what you wanted to hear, and then you didn't mishear it. That's all. That's all I'm gonna say.
Oh no! Be hot for that kind of carry on.
Well, it's just got even hotter.
Oh, it's the fan. It's just not doing its job. It's just mocking me still. So it is. But
well.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing as well that I've been playing a lot of, but nowhere near as much, is Destiny 2.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm a little burnt out on that at the moment, I must admit. But I really love that game for what it is, for the most part. For the most part.
It's one of those games I've wanted to pick up since it's become free-to-play, but just know that you and Lewis and a few of our other friends who play it are a lot deeper into it. And like, if I feel like if I join like and start playing now, it's just going to be a big grind for me to get up to sort of a level where I'll be playing with you guys.
This is the thing. It ends up in that interesting part between the two, which I think depends on like the level of sweat lord that you are. Because for instance, you know, like when the new season comes out and then there's a new power creep, we all go, oh, right, we'll just go and do it. And we go and do it, but we don't realize what we're doing is we do the power creep like on all three characters that week. And we do our least played one first. So you get like the biggest jump with each next character that you play till you get to your main. And then you get like the big jump because you've used all your like loot from your other ones that you've got made stronger and brought it to the next character, that kind of thing. And when even when I started that sentence, I could hear the level of sweat lord that I am, let alone actually doing it, you know. So like in my mind, that's like, oh, that's not that bad a grind. And I think that's just almost the Stockholm syndrome of Destiny sitting in a little bit on me, that, you know, I'll happily sit and do that and be like, oh, that's not that bad. And then you look back on the amount of hours that you've played and you're like, it's actually really quite bad, you know? So I don't disregard that point, Jordan. It would be a grind, but it wouldn't be like anywhere near as bad as it could be, but it still would be a bit of a grind, but we'd happily do it. We'd happily play, yeah, because we just always love having people to play with. I think there's a lot of redeeming things about Destiny in terms of what it offers of content. But it definitely does get its bad rap at times. But it's kind of deserved. It's been up and down for sure. Last season in particular as well was awful. Just awful. So I've never known a game to swing so much as well in terms of quality from a live service standpoint. I've never experienced it before. So it's kind of interesting with Destiny how much I don't want to play it at times, whereas other times I get like really into it. So
that was me with Battlefield 5.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, really good update, really shit update, they've broken Time to Kill, yep. Then there's a massive update, yep. And you're like, oh god, if this is where they're going forward with it, fantastic. And the next update kills Time to Kill again, pretty much kills the game, and then they announce that they're no longer supporting it, yep. And you're like, oh, exactly. Well, god done.
Well done. Yeah, I had a bit of a stint with Battlefield 5 that was like that, because Battlefield 2 was the first big sweat lord game that I ever played and wasted like a lot of my time on. And
yeah, you played a lot of Bad Company 2 back in the day, didn't we?
We did play a lot of Bad Company 2 as well. And I played a lot of 2142. And what I would give, would give for 2142 back, because Titan mode is one of the best FPS like game modes I've ever played in my life.
Played. And, exactly. And it's fantastic.
It's just never existed again. And it just never fucking will. Oh.
Just that fact that it wasn't just a straight up, this is the only way you can win sort of thing. Yeah. You know, you could just hammer them with the rockets, or you could board them to do it quicker. Mm-hmm. And
it was just so good. It was one of the best.
And it really pushed teamwork and everything. Fully. Back in like that game and like Battlefield 2 and stuff, everybody did sort of stick together and was incentivized to play together, mm-hmm. just by the game being better for it.
Yeah, I mean, the little things that they changed about the quality of life from Battlefield 2 to 2142 irked me, but then when I played Titan mode, I was like, this is worth it. This is actually worth me disliking how this game feels, because this is so fun. This is
Yeah.
It was just one of the best experiences that I've had. I wish we could go back and get them again. Like, if they ever did a 2142 remake with Titan mode in, that would actually be the first time I would want to give EA money. Oh,
yeah.
Oh. I think the problem with because I really, really want like a 2-1-4-3. If they do a new Battlefield game, I will probably only buy one if it is 2-1-4-3, because their last one, Battlefield 5, was just disappointing. But I don't think, as much as I want 2-1-4-3 to be a spiritual successor, or just even just a successor to 2-1-4-2, I think the fact that they're now targeting a more casual audience will mean that
the quality is going to suffer for it. Yeah.
Titan mode won't work because people don't work together in that game because it's built for casual gamers. Mm-hmm. It's more towards the side of COD now. Whereas what was the game that we were playing the other day, Brendan? The one that you like, Hell Let Loose.
Oh yeah,
that to me feels more like 2-1-4-2, but in World War II. If that makes sense.
Right, okay.
Like a modern version.
You run for 40 minutes and then get shot by some guy sitting in a bush?
Yeah.
That was definitely part of it.
I feel like the market is no longer there for that kind of game, unfortunately.
Probably not. The only thing that we could hope is that they did it and hope for like this weird nostalgia wave, which we're not going to get because that doesn't make them money. So it's just not going to happen. Mm. But, you know.
Can't slap a battle pass on it and charge you like £27 million for V-Bucks or.
No.
Yeah, it's a whole new.
I'm sure they'd do it so that if you're the commander, you get to have your own custom Titan and it'll be bright pink and have fucking like sweaty tryhards jumping out of it, you know?
Lasers for eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Oh, it makes me sad. Makes me sad.
The glory days.
They were the great days. You get home from school and you might be like, have you got any homework? You'd lie and then you'd play Battlefield 2 until you go to bed. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
With your eyes bloodshot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It'd be great.
Wake up in the morning. Your mum's like, oh, pink eye again.
Yeah.
No, mum.
Get home from school the next day. Have you got any homework? Yeah, they said win 3 games of Titan mode. And she's like, what are you on about? And then you just ignore her again.
You wouldn't know, mum.
Yeah. Exactly.
Push the dinner under the door. I will eat it and give you the empty plate back.
Well, that's sort of coming to the end of our time for today.
No worries.
You very much, Mo, for coming on and being our first guest on the podcast.
That's all right. Thank you for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It was a pleasure.
If any of our listeners want to find your content, where will they go?
So you could go to twitch.tv/allthelowend. That is ALLTHELOWEEND. If people call me all the low end all the time, and you know, I'm fine with it, but it just sometimes I can't help but think what is a low end, and you know, there's a lot of insular speculation that happens at that point, and it's a dark day. But aside from that, that's where you find my Twitch, where I play lots of silly things, and we have a lot of laughs. And if you spend enough time in the channel, you can ask me to draw you a picture.
I'm currently saving up my points for that picture. that is what I want. I want a signed picture of
it is.
Can it be any picture?
Yeah, so basically what it is if you have 5,000 channel points, you can redeem them on a thing called Draw Me a Thing, and you can literally ask me to draw anything you want, and I have a minute to do it in Microsoft Paint, and I cannot draw. So it's a lot of fun. It gets weird quite a lot, and a lot of people tend to mistake a lot of the things that I draw for other things, but that says more about my chat than me. So
are those things phallic in nature?
Sometimes. Yeah. I once drew a chair and someone was like, that's a very phallic chair. So you know, that if that puts you in the mindset that you'd like to join that environment on Twitch of your own time, please again follow me follow me the link I mentioned.
I'm going to get in on this. I'm going to see if I can figure out something that makes you break as many laws as possible.
That's fine. That's fine. But just be prepared to know that, like, what you asked me that could do that very well may not look like that, so therefore I might be fine. You know, there is always the downside to this, which is I don't think it ever goes how the person who's redeemed it wants it to.
I asked for a tower of penises and this is just a chair.
And that's pretty much it. That is pretty much how it goes. It's honestly a really good laugh. It's really funny. And I think that is probably the funniest part of it for me, is that, like, I get really focused for that 1 minute and don't really see what I'm drawing, as it were. I'm just trying to make something happen. And then I stop, look at it, and just lose it because I'm like, what have I done? What cursed thing have I done here?
I am become death.
It's so bad sometimes. So, like, one of my friends asked me to draw Mr. Blobby watching over him whilst he slept. If that's any indicator of what it's like, yeah, it's it's so dumb.
Shit gets weird.
It does. If you search All the Low End spelt the same way, funnily enough, on YouTube, you might find some videos. If you look up Peachy Moatwell, then you might find my playthrough of that hack, which is slowly going up. And on Twitter, I'm also All the Low End, and Instagram as well, I think. I don't really use Instagram all that much. I'm very bad at it.
We'll whack your Twitch and your Twitter in the video description and the podcast description as well.
I'm so glad I spelled it out for you, Jordan.
That's fine. I would have forgot the extra E. You know what I'm like. Even though I know you and your last name, so I know how to spell that.
You do. But, you know.
Loweened.
Yeah. The Loweened. I'm going to call you Moat Loweened from now on.
You can call me whatever you want.
Good.
As long as you keep giving me your Twitch Prime, call me whatever you want.
Daddy.
Yeah, but not Daddy.
No, that's for me to call you.
No, that's your Twitch audience, the Big Daddy Mock Club.
The Big Daddy Mock Club, yeah. After getting openly sugar daddied on Poke MMO.
Yep.
Oh man.
Yeah. That was a funny stream.
Indeed.
Add to masturbation list.
If you want, I've got a highlight video of it, if that will help.
Yeah, you know, I only last like 2 seconds.
I'm happy to shill out myself in terms of content for, you know, a visual aid for that. I'm all right. I'm totally down.
Right, so we'll finish off the recording as we normally do on the ordinary podcast. So whereabouts will we find the rest of us on the internet if we want to find ourselves, Rob?
You can find me on YouTube at Rob Coxey. We'll get round to making content again. I've just had a crappy year, really.
Gary?
You can find me on YouTube at Endash and on twitch.tv/endash_. I am, same as Rob, pretty sporadic with my uploads, so...
And just like the other two, you can find me every so often on Twitch, twitch.tv/GeordieWiz. And finally, Brendan, where can we find you?
You can find me on the top of the hill looking at a horse.
Oh, wonderful.
Primed and ready. He's got the strats now. He knows.
He knows. He knows the secrets. Right.
A horse murderer in Northern Ireland. We'll know who it is.
So we will see you all next Tuesday. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.